Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. It's the weekend. We've got beer. I've got no beer after that goes, unfortunately. We've got the week's discussion of the news in Apple. I'm Ewan Rankin, and I've got a great panel. The reason we've got a really great panel, I got an email a few weeks ago telling me that there was too much sausage on this show, so we've put that right. And we have a fantastic new guest joining us. Top left, though, we have Mr. Don McAllister. How are you doing, mate?
I'm fine, Ewan. No beer for me, I've just got my coffee.
Honestly,
it was just only...
I know you drink beer, mate, so 10 to 4 is well, into the day.
Actually, that's one question I meant to ask you, and I've been meaning to drop you an email about it.
Oh, go on.
We had some, at the Bash, we had some fruit-flavoured beer in bottles. It was very nice. You have to let me know which they were, because I have
no idea. I don't remember buying any.
It was a peach one, peach-flavoured beer. It was lovely.
Well, I didn't bring it.
Well, I'm sure someone at the Bash knows about it, so
okay,
let me know.
What colour was it in the bottle, Don?
It was just like normal beer, but it tasted of peach.
Peach
on a label.
Peach, are you sure that's peach? Not peace. It was peace-flavoured beer.
And it was sealed.
That doesn't mean anything. They're ingenious lot, our lot. Next here, we've got Carl Swagger from the Philippines. Earthquake boy.
Yeah, apparently down south they had a pretty big one, about 7.9, and I guess they've had a tsunami warning and everything down south, so hope everybody's okay down there. We're fine here in the metro in the city. We haven't felt anything.
You've had a bit of a run of it the last month, mate.
Yeah, it's been kind of, we've had floods and earthquakes, and I don't know, I think I'm going to go out back and start building a big boat and starting to get two of every animal, to be honest. So
life in paradise.
Yeah, it's so cold. No, we're good here. We're good. Everything's getting back to normal, thank goodness.
Excellent. Next to Kyle, we've got her debut appearance on the Mac Show, Kelly Gamont from the unofficial Apple weblog. How you doing, girl?
Hey, everybody.
Ready to talk some Apple with us?
Sure.
Good.
Sadly, I don't have beer like Don. I just have coffee. So
1 week. 1 week, well, we're going to get you.
It's not even 8 a.m. in my corner of the world, so.
Irrelevant.
I know.
And talking of irrelevant for alcohol, Mr. Will Green, how are you doing, sir?
Well, thank you very much.
How's your week been?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. It was in London, the opening of the Paralympic Games.
What, were you in the stadium?
No, I was in a tube station.
Oh, right. Okay, not quite the same atmosphere.
No, it wasn't really. I was heading out as quick as I could, because I thought it was going to get really, really busy, but it didn't. I saw a few people in wheelchairs and sort of pushed them over and things like that.
But they weren't athletes, maybe.
Maybe they weren't. But they were
just people going home.
Yeah, probably
from work.
No, it was. Did you see it? I mean, wasn't it an amazing opening to the?
It was. It was very surreal at times, but very, very good. And I thought what was quite nice, they were talking about the fact that they got a lot of people on show without prosthetics, which was great. And I've said it on every show this week, but it really stunned me yesterday morning. I watched a guy do the backstroke with no arms, and he did 100 metres in a minute and 13 seconds. And I've gone on and on and on about it because I just can't believe it. Proper superhuman, all of them. Unbelievable.
Amazing. I think the whole of the Olympics have been slightly surreal, haven't they? Especially the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, they've been stunning. Absolutely great. We've got Duran to go yet.
Mm. Oh, Christ, have we really?
Yeah.
Maybe we can miss that bit, do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Not? And just as a segue, talking about of old, detached, and completely spaced out, Dr. Happy Mac, how you doing?
Leave Nick Rhodes out of this.
Nick Rhodes was never here. If there's anyone that's an abductee from aliens, it's Nick Rhodes.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, and Dr. Happy Mac is here, though, now. He's come back.
I've come back from client visitation. I have, at the front door of the house, we have a sign, and the sign says, visitors for Dr. Happy Mac and the curtain lady, which is my wife's business, please go round the side to the office at the back. And people just stand right next to this sign and bang on the door, and then they phone up and say, you weren't in.
Yeah.
So occasionally clients, and they come in, it's a bit difficult to sort of shoo them away. But anyway, I'm back.
You're back. It's got excellent.
Red LEDs around it now and a little notice saying, please read all.
No worries, mate. I reference your email that you sent me earlier on. I have sent it off, so it'll all be fixed very shortly, so don't worry.
Cool.
But don't talk about it, eh?
No, it's fine. I was going to do it all anyway.
So. The week in Apple, it's been an awful lot. There's been a bit of a boardroom shuffle that's gone on, but Bob Mansfield apparently is staying. The linebacker will remain. There's also a new release for Mac, specifically for Mac, a My Passport drive from Western Digital, 2 terabytes, and it's got built-in USB 3 as well. And this is one for Don, absolutely. Mm. This is the Western Digital MyBook Velociraptor Duo.
Whoa.
It's a two... See? He's Don's got wood already. It's a Thunderbolt 2 terabyte capacity drive that's going to cost you $900, mate.
It's fast, though, isn't it?
It's super fast, 400 megabits a second.
Mm. You're a handsome devil. What's your name?
Yeah. Yeah. Come over here and whir beside me. You going to buy that, Don?
Probably not.
I would like to point out to the broadcast that is not, in fact, what I said. So, there you go.
What? What's not what you said?
Do you guys not have that's what she said in your part of the world?
No, no clue what you're talking about, mate. Okay. We have trousers instead of pants as well, so, you know, it's divided. Your language and cultural history is going to really be a problem. We talk different things.
Okay.
You know, we're all over the place.
So I'll set one up. Most of the rest of you have beer, so it's all right. Usually what happens is somebody will say something like, you know, you go, it's a 1 terabyte USB 3 drive, and someone goes, my, that's so big and powerful, and then someone else will go, That's what she said.
Yeah.
Ah.
No, as it, our equivalent is said the actress to the bishop. There you go.
Okay.
And talking
as the only she, I feel like I have to remind people I'm not the one who said that. So that's all.
Thank you. Glad we clarified that. And finally, there's an Apple One going up for auction. It's apparently quite rare.
Yes.
It's a 40-year-old computer. Why wouldn't it be? And they're talking $179,000. So that's roughly about £4.80.
Does that include the box?
Yeah, I think it comes with the box. But how the hell that board's going to fit inside that box, I'll never know.
It doesn't work, though, does it?
It doesn't work. It doesn't even work.
No, it doesn't even work.
Non-functioning.
Yep, non-functioning.
Well, yeah. That's a load of crap.
Come and set it up for you.
A working one. Do you fix them, DHM?
Apple Ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got a pile of them in the office. Are they worth anything? I was just trying to hammer one into a cube the other day. I thought this would be cool. I'll get this logic board. I'll put it in the cube. It'll be what Apple should have sold all those years ago.
Dr. Hammer Mac. Now, we did also debate whether you had anything to do with levering the Galaxy S3 into the new Samsung camera. Have you seen that? There's a Samsung camera that's come out, and effectively it's got a Galaxy S3 on the back. It's got Android Jelly Bean, and it's got loads of features, and it's got a 3G Wi-Fi card in there and Wi-Fi capability as well. We just talked about it on the photo show, and we thought you might have had something to do with that, because it does look like it's been thrown together.
Because I've got, because of the name, Dr. Happy Mac, apparently after the court case, I'm contractually obliged to have nothing to do with any Samsung products ever again.
Really?
Where we chucked the TV out last week.
You did. Bad look. The week in Apple.
I haven't even seen it. Is it hideous beyond all belief?
No, it's gorgeous. It's a very, very well done camera. It looks wonderful. We've just been saying on the photo show, if they've got the price right and it's going to come in at sort of £250, £300, £350, you'd part with the cash quite happily because it looks gorgeous. But if they're going to throw in $1,000, then they can stick it up their butts. We're not having it.
Has it got Wi-Fi and stuff like that as well?
It's got Wi-Fi and it's got a 3G card slot as well. So you can. It's got 4G as well. It's got a 4G antenna in it. Whether it's the right frequency or not, I don't know, because there's no frequency data.
So basically, it's the camera in your phone being approached from entirely the other direction.
No, it's actually a Samsung proper compact camera.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Rather than taking a smartphone and shoveling a tiny camera into it, Samsung have taken a camera and shoveled most of a phone into it.
Yeah, it's got a 4.8-inch screen on the back of it, which is just looks super gorgeous, like the S3 does. And it's got tons of functionality. It's got Android. I mean, Kelly, you must have covered this so far this week on Unofficial Apple Weblog.
Well, I've seen some of the talking about it. I'm not a super photography person, but as somebody who would use that kind of camera, right now what I have is a Canon S90.
Right.
And as a point and shoot, and it's just because I'm waiting. I have an iPhone 4, not a 4S. And so when I have a 4S or better that has the 8-megapixel camera in it, I probably won't carry around my little Canon point and shoot anymore. But the Samsung one that will allow me to upload everything from it, because I've tried the iFi card, and the iFi card is a lot of jiggery pokery that I just really don't have the patience for. If I could have something that did it quickly and easily, I would be a lot more interested in that. The other thing that's interesting to me about this is that Samsung is the first to come out with this. Samsung has done something really innovative with a camera. So to me, it sort of begs the question, why can't they do this with a phone?
Mm, very true. Samsung, of course, makes up a big part of the news this week since we went on air last week, because after we finished the show, they decided to settle their dispute with Samsung and Apple, and they were awarded $1 billion in damages. Quite how they've lost $1 billion, I'm not entirely sure, but they've now waded in, and they're saying, Apple are saying that they want removal of 8 Samsung phones from general sale in the US as well. And I mean, first question then, what's the reaction to the judgment in the patent case? Don?
Yeah, it was very interesting, actually. I suppose, I don't think it's a big surprise to anyone. I think the biggest surprise was that they came to the deliberations, they came to the, you know, the judgments after 3 days, whereas people thought it might take up to 3 weeks for them to go through. But, you know, I think they just decided, no, it's a done deal. You know, Samsung did copy, and they copied willfully. And then, you know, it was basically just a matter of ticking off all the boxes on the various sheets. So it's no huge surprise. But, you know, again, I don't think Apple actually did it for the lack of earnings. I think they did it just for the, you know, try and keep the IP on it and prove a point that, you know, you can't go around sort of stealing ideas from anybody after they put in all the work developing the iPhone, for them to turn around and copy it in 3 months and get something, you know, out there. So no huge surprise, but we've got to wait now and see what all the appeals are, see what happens once things go to the appeal, see what the final judgment is.
Yeah, $2.50 probably.
I was hearing yesterday they could actually increase it. The judge could increase the damages.
Increase it 3 times the value?
Wasn't it triple, I think?
Yeah.
Potentially, but I don't think anyone thinks they will actually do that.
You know what gets me about this kind of stuff, though? It's like, okay, fine, we got this $1 billion settlement, or not settlement yet, but this is, you know, going on in the U.S. And then today we're hearing out of Japan, well, they more or less, for the patents, they sort of side with Samsung. We just seen in Korea, I think it was last week or sometime, that Korea is also going to side with Samsung. Where do we get this to more of a global scale, on a more global level, where it actually says that, yes, Samsung did rip off Apple? Because if you look at it by country right now, it's just like everybody's kind of choosing their favorites. You know, the U.S. is going to go with Apple, Japan's going to go with Samsung, Korea is obviously going to go with Samsung. So I think it becomes very confusing, actually, on the consumer bit side of it. And I don't know. I mean, I'm tired of it. I just wish Apple would just concentrate on making better things.
I mean, I think that raises a good point, because, I mean, the I can't say $1 billion without adding a bit of Carl Sagan and Dr. Evil in there. But there's a certain element of, if you're talking about a $1 billion settlement, there's a certain part where you look at that and go, well, that's just the loony legal system that exists in the US, because patents is broken the world over. But there's a certain question I've got in my mind now, whether the going after the other models from Apple is actually a bad move, whether there's, you know, the dog pile of going on for Samsung, particularly your opinion, Kyle, here as someone who's in East Asia, as to whether that could lose them some traction in the international market, and people would look at it and go, yeah, okay, look, $1 billion is a lot. You didn't really deserve that. And enough's enough. You know, you start beating down on these people, and I'm sorry, but you really are switching me off, and the fanboys are going to walk away even as well, perhaps, no? Anyone?
No, I could see that, actually. I mean, the thing is, Apple's been trying to, particularly in Asia, has been trying to really get into this market for a long time. And when the iPhone first launched, it wasn't that successful over here. And it is slowly, and I think gotten more and more popular. I think obviously with the iPhone 4, I think was you know the best thing going. I think the 4S has done well. I know it's done well here in the Philippines, but it does. It you from that perspective over here, you start looking at it and saying, well, geez, you know, they just look really greedy and they just want to push competition out of the way. And of course, they don't see that where obviously the court case is. I personally don't see it that way. I look at what they've copied, and yeah, there's a lot of copying going on there. But I just don't know from a PR standpoint of view if it really does Apple any good in other territories.
Is that anyone else? I mean, Kelly, you're potentially going to sit there as an American and go, yeah, commie bastards. But I mean, what's the feeling on your side of the pond relating to it?
Well, I think that, first of all, the information situation in the United States is odd at best. So for all most people know, Samsung sued Apple and lost. I mean, that's a common thing. I still get people to this day who remember hearing something 15 years ago about Microsoft buying Apple. So, like, I still get people that ask me about that on occasion.
They didn't?
No, they didn't. Okay. Bill Gates showed up at Macworld on that giant screen and talked about the $150 million that they had kicked into Apple, which is a really laughable number now. As we talk about how the $1 billion that Apple's going to get from Samsung, they like to call couch money. You know, search the couch at Apple and there will be $1 billion in it. So there's two things I think that are at issue here. And the first is the joy of the specifically US patent system, which is if you don't defend it, then everyone can have it. And then what's the point of having your patent? So there is that. So Apple, whether they want to or not, whether they feel like they're justified or not, they do have to go through those motions just to continue to hold those patents, which is neat. I think this is a case that's getting a lot of attention because it's Apple, like a lot of things. The tragedy of Apple workers in China. People who make Apple stuff and live in China are horribly mistreated because all of the problems with people making shoes in China was, you know, all erased after everybody got mad at Nike. And, you know, Samsung doesn't do this, or your Xbox wasn't made by those same people. You know, it's one of those things that is sort of Apple baiting, I think, is part of why this is getting so much attention. But Jim Dalrymple was on the Tuwa Talk cast last week, and he brought up a very good point, which was the other reason that Apple is really invested in this is market share. Because a lot of people, particularly if they're not us or our audience, people who don't actively go seek out tech reporting and valid opinions about what's sort of happening and do things like listen to analysts or only know that there's a new iPhone because CNN covered it, for example. Those people went and found a Samsung phone, whether it was because it was the free one, you know, when their contract was up or whatever, and went, yeah, I don't hate this phone as much as I hated my last phone. So my next phone is going to be another Samsung phone. And because Samsung did a decent job and sucks less than some of the other Android options that are out there.
The S3 is far better than a decent job at the moment, I would say.
Yes. That's a new one that I haven't actually had a chance to play with. But of the other phones, like generally the Samsung version of the new phone with the big screen or the new phone with the better camera or the new phone that will run the new OS, those things make the Samsung usually the best choice of whatever the current iteration of phones is that's out there. So I think that that's another piece that is part of why Apple is doing what they're doing. So, and because that's something that they can't get back.
I mean, well, you're an ex-Apple employee. I mean, is the company that you work for the same company that exists now? Is the, because I don't get the impression that they would have beat down this hard under Jobs. You'd have taken the win and walked away. I don't think they'd have screwed it to the ground with another 8 units. You're on mute, pal.
Reed, do you think, just to finish, do you think, they were like Steve Jobs, this is the person that, the man that said that he would spend every single...
He was going to thermonuclear on them, but I would have said the win's a win.
No. A win's a win, and a jumping up and down on the smouldering remains of your corpse is a win as well.
Yeah, no, Will's got audio trouble.
I feel like it's almost like extra winning, and they don't need to do that. I don't know that I'm necessarily a fan of them trying to prevent those from happening, those other phones from being sold. But the other thing to think about, at least here, because this is something I get heat for when I'm on the International Mac Podcast, is things like, they're finally selling unlocked phones in the United States, and everyone else goes, oh, American, aren't you cute?
Yeah.
Like, that's another part of the issue, I think, that adds just another layer of shenanigans to the entire mobile market, and particularly in the United States, because the rest of you guys don't really have this problem. So I think that's part of why they're doing it specifically here as far as banning those other devices, because I think that's gunning at market share. Do I think that's a good idea? Probably not. And I think any PR Apple won by going after somebody copying them and then subsequently winning isn't going to help. So I think it may be a legal win for them, and it may be something that does help them long term with sales, but it's not going to help them long term with PR. And it seems like whenever there's a big Apple story that sort of everybody knows about, it's never good. It's never Apple sold all the phones, Apple made all the money. You know, Apple's market, you know, Apple's quarterly earnings call said that their sales increased 20% over last quarter when the rest of the market was 3%. And you know, those kinds of things aren't the things that everybody knows. What everybody knows about Apple right now is they had a guy who started things, left, came back, and has passed away. And they know, some people know that Microsoft bought them. And everybody knows that people who make iPhones in China are horribly mistreated. And now they know that they've beaten Samsung in court.
And that's the limit of it, yeah.
Mm. And
I mean, everyone...
Go ahead. Go DHM.
So you can see everyone sort of going on about the $1 billion as if, you know, Apple have given Samsung, you know, such a black eye with $1 billion. It's a huge amount of money and things. But in terms of Samsung's overall profits, although they don't have the cash that Apple has, they make plenty of profits. It's only a small percentage of their annual profits. But also from Samsung's point of view, to go from 0% of the smartphone market to where they are now, that's a dollars well spent.
Yeah, true. I mean, I think the one thing that's interesting is the fact that if you look at how that $1 billion was arrived at, the jury was split, and then the jury swayed on one statement from Google in a meeting, which was, can you make it look a little less like the iPhone? And the other one was from one of their own internal emails that said, should we tone it down a bit? And no, let's go after it. Let's make it look like the iPhone. That seems a hell of a... those are two really bad notes to make, aren't they? Whoever wrote that, don't write that down.
It's also worth sort of noting as well that most of these complaints are about the older iPhones. I mean, they're talking about the 3GS and the original iPhone, which was groundbreaking at the time, and that's the whole, you know, the basis of the lawsuit, really, because they claim that they copied the original iPhone, not so much the new phones now. And I think Samsung have come a long way from those initial phones that were sort of created just to confuse people, you know, because especially here in the UK, we didn't have the iPhone for a couple of months. And, you know, it was quite a slow uptake with just having the single carrier, et cetera. But, you know, that's interesting as well that they didn't win the tablet case. It's just the phones. So, you know, there's no win as far as Apple are concerned on the tablet side of things. So it is very much, you know, 2 years ago, the phones they were making 2 years ago, really more than the phones they're making now. And it's, I don't think it'll continue after this. Once this is settled, they'll probably come to some agreement and, you know, we'll move forward. But it's the old historical phones.
I mean, 2 years ago, it was when we started the Mac Show, and it was one of the first few stories that we covered in the first few weeks. And I think we all looked at the icons and went, come on, you're taking the piss here. These really are too close for comfort, most definitely.
Yeah, well, it's the shops as well, isn't it? They wanted something to say, because a lot of the shops couldn't sell iPhones because they couldn't get them. They wanted something to say, well, this is like an iPhone, you know, because it's got these square icons on and it's just as good. It does the same. And to the uneducated or the uninitiated, you know, they wouldn't know any difference. And I think that's a big part of the lawsuit, really, is the FUD that was generated by
preying on the weak minded. Greeny, you're back.
I missed anything.
Here he is.
I think, in fairness, though, it wasn't just Samsung that did this. I think Samsung is just, I think they're the ones that are selling a buttload of phones at the moment, and now was the time to do it. But there's a lot more people out there, particularly when the iPhone started to really become successful, that said, yeah, well, that looks like a good thing there. Let's get the icons going here. It wasn't just Samsung phones that looked like that. There was, well, I'm trying to think right now. I mean, heck, if you even look even at what Nokia is trying to do right now with their new handsets, there's, you know, fine, maybe they're not square icons, but it's the same grid. It's the same flow. It's the same, you know, it's the pinch and zoom thing on the pictures, you know. So everybody's been trying to chase, I think, the iPhone for years. And it's only now, really, that Samsung has actually gave Apple a run for their money.
So let's flip this the other way around now. If Apple were planning on bringing out the new iPhone this month, or next month, with a 3:2 ratio screen at 4.3 inches, do you think Tim Cook's going, put it away, put it away, we can't have it, put it away? Because if they came out with that, I mean, it's like, cha-ching, let's get our $1 billion back, surely. There's the precedent that's been set.
A screen size. You can patent what you do on the screen. You can patent the case and the look and feel of what's around the screen.
But dude, you can't patent. Google yesterday got a successful patent for recognition of items in a video publicly. So you go out and shoot some video, and they've got an algorithm which can recognise it's a bloke, it's a pole, it's a car, and we took the piss out of it last night badly in the big show.
Yeah, but that's quite,
I
that's
break that impressive. Patent every day that's when I go out.
That's a bit of software that will take a picture, scan it, and go, look, there's a pole, or look, there's a car. I can see there's IP in that. I mean, it doesn't sound exciting, but there's definitely IP in it.
Next time you crash your car into a pole, you're going to use it as a defence. I didn't want to break Google's patent. I recognised it was a pole, but I didn't want to say I recognised it a pole in case Google sued me.
That's what I was thinking. Was I recognize things all day long. Like, do I just put money in a jar and mail it off to Google on a regular basis?
Patent breacher?
Yeah.
Don't come on this show breaching patents. Apple. Will, did you answer the question earlier on about whether this is the company that you used to work for?
Well, it is, isn't it?
Okay, that's enough then.
You know what? But I got a kick out of that a while ago. I don't know how we got off, but it was Dr. Happy Mac. But it's funny, he goes, I don't think your audio's working. And it automatically, Dr. Happy Mac thought it was him.
Guilty conscience. It's never you. It's always me. Except the fact that Will's gone away and come back and it's clearly him.
It was me. I thought it, with the sort of upgrade to thingy, I thought it would be okay, but... So I've rebooted into the old...
Is that thingy 10.8 or thingy 10.81?
10.81.
Right.
I was just hoping that would fix the problem, but it's not. It's not OS 10. It is, unfortunately, M-Audio, who have not updated their drivers.
Oh, they're buggers. Mm-hmm. M-Audio, I got away from M-Audio and went to PreSonus because M-Audio are crap at updating their drivers with a Mac. Bloody awful. Won't have
they
it.
Used to be really good. They used to be really, really good at doing it. And yeah, and you're nothing. Right, they... gotten lazy.
No, I mean, I remember when Snow Leopard came out, I ended up, I lost the Tascam desk at the same time because Tascam was an obsolete, they weren't going to update it at all anyway, and M-Audio took 3 months and still hadn't updated Snow Leopard, and I ended up buying a PreSonus, and PreSonus, I haven't even had to update the driver, and it still works with Mountain Lion, so there you go. Apple have decided to do one-to-ones online. So it's a shame that it's showing that in Google Chrome, really, isn't it? Because you'd like it to work better in Safari, you would have thought. But they're connecting you to a specialist who will deliver you a one-to-one lesson or answer specific questions about anything that you want. Long overdue.
Yeah, way to bear down on my business model, Apple. Thanks.
What? You don't... So yeah. Are you saying that Dr. Boom Chicka Wow Wow is doing video... lessons in inverted commas. Have you been back to see that lady, by the way, recently?
She's coming around after the podcast.
Really? And your wife's going to be underneath a very loud sewing machine down the garden. Ah. Is she going to come in?
I reckon.
Is she going to come and knock on the door next to the sign?
Yes, probably.
He's looking really uncomfortable about this, isn't he?
Look how red he is. He's so blimey. Red.
How am I ever going to pay you, Dr. Happy Mac?
I take Ferrero Rocher.
Really spoiling you. So how's this eaten into your business model, NDHM?
No, this is like the idea that Apple is the... I mean, it started years ago, didn't it, with the hard drives that you couldn't replace and the batteries you can't replace. It's just this thing that, you know, Apple's thing is that you know, everything that you could want from your device is serviced and provided to you by Apple, and that's it.
Yeah, but that's not what this is about. This is about one-to-one sessions. You know, really? This is the one-to-one training sessions.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But you don't do that, though.
No, it's also support as well, though, isn't it?
They've done support before, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, for example, a slightly different thing. I went to buy a battery, which was a service item battery, because it's not replaceable, so I'm not allowed to buy it anywhere else other than an Apple reseller. So I went to the local reseller, and I said to them, have you got a battery for a 2011 MacBook Pro? Yes. How much is it? It's £130. I can get it, you know, the battery... All the batteries that Apple sell are £110 on the Macs, the Apple Store and things. And this is an Apple authorized reseller. He says, oh, yes, Apple sell us the batteries at greater than cost price.
Lovely.
Because they don't want us selling them. And this is one of their own, you know, an authorized Apple reseller. And they buy their parts from Apple, and Apple charge them more for the parts than they sell them to the general public.
Right, okay. If you've got an axe to grind, you're always welcome to come on the show and grind it.
Yeah,
come on. Yeah. No worries, no problem. But the gym slot will be free next week.
Do you speak to a one-to-one guy? Is it a guy in California with a black turtleneck on and some, you know, is it it's the whole thing, isn't it, I guess?
If it is, it's very good service.
Yeah.
With glasses on. No, come on. I mean, one-to-one services, I think this is long overdue. Greeny, you were a one-to-one specialist, weren't you, mate? You're a topic specialist, a creative specialist, so...
Creative, that's what our title was.
A creative, yeah. Do you like the idea of doing online one-to-ones? Because the problem was that, I mean, you were at the tail end of it, I guess. It got too successful, didn't it, really?
Yeah. So I was a creative for 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 3 years? Something like that. So when I joined, it was like the job to have. It got more successful and... it changed a little bit during time, but I think what they're doing, and it was towards the end, it was very, very popular with older people who used it more as a social club than anything else, really. They get a Mac, and it was a bit of company for them on a Thursday morning at 11 o'clock or something like that. And so maybe I think it went away from teaching sort of... originally, it meant... When I started, I was teaching audio professionals Logic. I was teaching film professionals Final Cut, etc. But then it sort of degenerated into, as I say, teaching old ladies iPhoto and things like that. No, I don't want to sound like a snob, but not
careful, because
like
that was my mother.
Yeah, probably was. No, I don't mean to sound like a snob at all. But maybe this is a way of dividing the two. So I don't know. I argued at the time that there should be sort of two levels of, so there should be people who do sort of for normal consumers and creatives who do the pro stuff as well. It sort of makes sense, doesn't it, really?
And a charging level to match, presumably.
I think that would make sense. And maybe if they did do like a premium pro level, then being able to, it's a lot of, it's a right pain in the arse. Watson?
It's all right. Carry on, mate.
It's a pain in the arse to get in your car and to drive to, the centre of London and park and everything else, and then sit down for an hour and then go away again. I mean, wouldn't it be better to be able to sit in your office, sort of dial in, as it were? You don't really have to be there. They can take control of your computer, and I suppose vice versa. Mm. You can face each other face-to-face over video.
Yeah.
And so for a professional, I would imagine this is a great solution.
And plus the fact you've got that ability to sell to a market that was so bloated you could never get a time anyway. I mean, that was the trouble that I always had. I had 3 months left on my one-to-one stuff on a computer that I bought, and I never got to use it because every time I rang up and when I knew I was free, it was, no, sorry, we're fully booked. And yeah. What's the one-to-one situation like in the US, Kelly?
It's really similar. I think there's a lot of people who use it, and I think the social aspect is another part of that. I think also what this is for is something that doesn't tend to be an issue in you all's parts of the world, which is the U.S. is very vast, and so we get tips at Tuwa all the time from people who say, I'm having this problem with my computer, but I live 4 hours from an Apple store. I live 6.5 hours from an Apple store. There's no way for me to be able to do this. How can I get help? And so I think this is another way that Apple is sort of extending the retail reach, giving people a really amazing experience that they don't have to go anywhere for. So I think that's going to be really helpful as well, as far as giving people a retail experience without them having to go to the retail store. So
yeah.
I think, you know, some people with the authorized resellers don't get Apple level service.
Yeah, I mean, there's some points in the chat room. Chenix is saying 1-to-1 is now done in groups, which is misleading. But I mean, that kind of crept in to satisfy demand, but they weren't called 1-to-1s. I can't remember what they were called, but they were badged as group sessions, but you could use your 1-to-1 session for it. And to be fair as well, they lasted for 3 hours. They weren't an hour only, and there was three of you in the group, so you kind of got your value for money. And I think you were only paying something like 70 pence, which was just crazy to me. Yeah, the whole lesson was 70 pence for an hour.
That's
for a teacher, that's a good rate. All right, don't laugh then, bollocks. What?
No, I was laughing.
Oh, right, okay, thanks very much. Tweakbot, their alpha has been pulled and they've canned it and they're not even going to run it anymore thanks to Twitter changing their API status. I mean, I don't want to get into a beating down on Twitter session, although...
I do, God.
They're a bunch of bastards and I hate them, but... I thought Tweakbot's alpha was kind of samey, to be honest. It didn't really sparkle for me, but it is a shame that it's gone because it does have potential. Tweakbot has got the best iOS interface, I believe. Any comments?
Yeah, Twitter sucks.
Okay. next story or not?
The thing that's sad about it to me is that Twitter is getting rid of people who like them. You know, like, say I really like Twitter. I want to build a client. I want to learn how to program iOS, or I want to learn how to program for the Mac, and I want to build something. And a Twitter client is a very easy thing to set up. You know, what's up to me is like the UI stuff and how to handle certain things. And Twitter is sort of saying, no, it's good that you like us that much, but that's too much to like us. Please go away. And I understand why they're doing it. I don't understand how. They're doing it because enough people have invested enough money for enough time that they're kind of saying, we want to see some of that back, and they're not getting it. And so I get that that's what they want to do, and I get that that's what they're, you know, they're looking for a revenue model, and having their revenue model be so reliant on third-party clients isn't necessarily the best thing. But I wish that there were a better way for them to do this, because the way Paul over at Tapbots made it sound was they wanted to work with Twitter. They tried to work with Twitter, and Twitter basically blew them off. And I don't like that approach. And maybe it's just because Apple is sort of a friendly company and I'm not used to having to put up with these sorts of shenanigans from a company that I spend a lot of money with. But it seems kind of frustrating, and the reason it's frustrating is because these sorts of conversations have been going on for as long as I've been on Twitter. Let me pay you $5 a month or $10 a month, you know, even just so that I can, you know, offer you guys the money, and then you can reduce spam. Or if you want to put ads in the feed, that's fine too, you know. But let me pay you a little bit more for the option to turn that off, or you know, something. So that there's some sort of money to be made. And it seems like Twitter is going about it in like the jerkiest way possible. So
there's, I mean, I think, go ahead, Tom.
The problem with Twitter is, I mean, it seems as though the suits have just suddenly taken over, you know, big time. And they really, you know, and I agree with Kelly. I've always wanted to pay them something because I'm a big Twitter user, and I've always wanted to sort of subscribe to Twitter so that, you know, it would ensure the service, and perhaps, you know, if they did start including ads, remove the ads. But it's painfully obvious now they're not going to go down that route. They probably can't generate enough revenue using a paid model. So they've gone, you know, they've flipped it completely, and they're going to completely go over to the advertising model and, you know, get millions and millions of dollars from advertisers. And they seem to have cut out completely the user end of it. And I mean, it wasn't so much the API was bad enough, sort of, you know, sort of giving the finger to all the developers. But then literally 2 days later, they put another thing about partnerships, which was so full of business speak and talking about, you know, partnering with businesses and developers, but not in the client space, in the metric space, and in the, you know, in the, all the spammy bits where they can target people in Twitter. And it's just got really nasty and horrible. And it's, they really do seem to be disregarding the, they don't see their end users as their customers anymore. I think they see big business and advertisers as their customers, and that's who they want to service. And us poor, you know, people who actually use the service, we're now the product.
Mm.
Well, and it's sad that this is that example, but this example is perfect. It's the same thing that you can say about every service, that all you have to do is give your email address and get an account for. And that is, if you are not paying, you are not the customer.
Which is true, though. That's fair enough.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who I don't think realize that about Facebook, Foursquare. Those are companies that aren't making money because you check in. And, like, they really don't care how excited you are to be the mayor of whatever. They don't care. What they care about is being able to slice and dice the aggregate data and sell it to places like Starbucks, or I think the one I know is Pete's Coffee, where if you're the mayor, you get a free drink, and, like, every third check-in, you get, like, a dollar off something, or I don't remember what it is. Those are the people that are making the money off of it, and there's a lot of people who I think don't understand that.
Yeah.
I'm the mayor of our local couriers. AFTAB. Lionbridge. Yeah.
Very good, mate. Are they Foursquare?
Yeah, I'm Foursquare.
Jolly good.
I don't quite understand what it's all about there. Why bother?
What's
it all about there?
It's just fun, mate. I'll explain fun to you after the show.
Oh, okay.
There's a few comments in the chat room. Pete's calling them twatter, which speaks for itself, really. They're not getting the ad views, says Paul. The business model is back to front, like most startups, but they built their user base and have no idea how to monetize from it. Twitter is reputedly now profitable, says 10x. The problem is they're not making enough to play off the VC capital, though.
That's
the real problem. And I think once a business makes a certain amount of dollars, profits are then given over as customers, and the point 10x makes is if you're not paying for something, then you are the product, not the customer. So, and everyone wants to go to app.net, which is I'll go to app.net when I give them $50 and I get the service, rather than when I give them $50 and they promise that they might give it me at some time in the future.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Well, I understand they don't take it right away.
Well, that's good. And 25 minutes ago, Kyle, did the earth move for you?
No, it didn't.
Because apparently at 10:59 your time, there was a 5.0 earthquake.
Yeah, it was a 5.5 earthquake, and I think it's in the same area. It seems like they're calling it another earthquake. It might possibly be an aftershock too, but they're saying earthquake here too. I've seen that. So yes. No. Still nothing here in the cities. It's still all south of us. So I'll let you know if it does happen, or you'll probably see when it does happen.
This is from a Twitter account called @NewEarthquakes, sorry. And their slogan that they pay off on the bottom is, "Don't miss out on updates from earthquakes to tsunamis." It sounds like a Gillette advert for shaving. Don't miss out on any updates on earthquakes and tsunamis. Only
order
at New Earthquake.
I like that order it's both.
Now. Oh yeah, that's right. I hate the earthquake lot. You know, they're all on one side, and then the tsunami lot are all over the other, and it's been almost like a racial war for years.
If you order right now, we'll throw in the typhoon, hurricane, and tornado at no additional cost.
That extra package is well worth the money. Don, have you got a code for that? No. This podcast and all the others would not be possible without UK2.net. They're brilliant. We love them to bits. They're a great bunch. We've got an offer code set up with them, or loads of offer codes set up with them. All you got to do is go to our website, click on their logo, and it opens in a different tab. Go back and get the sponsor links on the sponsor page for us. And when you've bought whatever you want to buy, just shove all of those codes in one after the other without putting your payment details in first, and you'll get reductions on your basket. You've got 20% off domain names. So, you know, you're lying awake at night having thought of that magic name that you wanted for your website, like Will's EDAM project last week, of course. the cheese heaven. And you just go and type it in and you can buy it. I've bought one in a pub on my iPhone. I've bought them on my laptop. I've bought them on my iPad. If you've got an internet connection, then UK2 are the people that you want all the stuff for. They do everything right up to the very top-end dedicated servers with 100 terabytes per month, data transfer and that kind of thing, co-locating services and all those kind of things. And they've got a fantastic thing called a site builder application, which is instant website. You can have a functioning website up in under a minute if you just pick their basic options and put in some very basic details. They've been supporting us for 3 years. They're going to support us for another two. They've just signed up. So thank you very much, UK2. You guys are supporting them. You've bought loads of services from them. Keep going. Keep using the offer codes and keep using the click-through off our page, because if you just use the voucher code, they think you get it from a voucher site, not from you, from listening to British Tech. So thanks ever so much. We really, really relish the support. Now then, Kelly, yes, we do a thing called the cool...
We'd be dead in the water without it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, we... Last month, we used 24 terabytes of bandwidth.
Ow! Yeah. Oh! I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I'd probably be on about three... I'd probably be 350 quid a month just in bandwidth charges, so, let alone the couple of grand I owe for the server. Never mind. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Right, we do a thing called Cool Thing, Kelly. It's your first time on, so I hope you've got one.
I have many.
Okay, good. No, you need to do one. Save it for the next week you're on. Forsman's talking about ping-ponging with you, so he's going to come on next week and you're going to come back the following week. How'd you fancy that?
Yeah, that would be great.
Great, we've got a gig. The cool thingy, if you can put your links in the doc as well, we've got a lovely chap now called Miles Wheatley. He's the father of Paul Wheatley, who does the Gamer Show and the iOS Show, and he does all of the snotes for us. So it would be a great help to him if you can put your link in the doc so he doesn't have to start searching on Google for it. But starting us off, as usual, with a fantastic pick, no doubt, because they're always good. It's Don.
Sometimes bundled.
Right, okay, my pick for this week is a little gadget. This little, I'm sure everyone's seen one before, the Fitbit.
All right.
It's the Ultra Fitbit, this one. It's basically a little sensor that you clip to your clothes, and it monitors your activity during the day, how many steps you're taking. The Ultra one measures how many times you go up and downstairs, and you can wear it on a sort of wristband to go to sleep and monitor your sleep. And then it synchronizes. The interesting thing is it synchronizes with your Mac wirelessly, so you basically just need to be near your Mac with the USB adapter plugged in. And it will just synchronize when you're near your Mac, and you can go to the website, you can have a look at all your stats and stuff, and integrates with other applications as well. So it's quite neat.
It's a pedometer, says Kelly in the chat room.
A fancy one, yeah.
She's not good at making friends, is she?
Pedometer plus plus.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed the plus plus.
Because that's what it is. It tracks your stairs. It'll track the calories. It's got a little... graphic for what you burn. I have mine in my pocket right now, so that's why I can tell you. And you actually don't have to have it hooked up to your computer. So, like, I have a laptop, but I also have a computer here in my office that's on all the time. So I just plugged the base in there, and as long as I sit in the office, it syncs. And for Dawn, there's a site, I think it's worldwide, that's earned it, earndit.com, and you get points for syncing your Fitbit to it, and then you can redeem those points for gift cards for, like, workout clothes and snack bars and all kinds of cool stuff. So,
okay. Yeah,
check that out. It's like a free thing. You don't even have to do anything except hook your Fitbit up to it. That's it.
I'd like to see Don in fitness clothes.
Well, you can if you buy the bundle.
Dude, he's from Liverpool. Of course he's got a shell suit.
We should do a calendar.
Steady on.
We should.
You get the girl, and now you think you need a calendar?
Actually, now here's a thought. With the NSPC thing in mind, with the green counter, Andy Vaughan has suggested that we all do a green counter, and we can sell those as additional modes. So there's a Ewan Rankin version, there's a Carl Swagger version, there's a Don McAllister version, and all we need to do is record 25 phrases. There you go. So if you record 25 phrases for when it goes off, just like Will did, then he's going to put out different modes that you can buy as add-ons, and all the proceeds will go to NSPCC.
I'll even do a not a lot one as well.
Good man.
Most weeks I don't do 25 words in the whole podcast.
That's true, actually. You might struggle. It's 25 phrases as well, dude, not words.
Oh, jeez.
Kelly, you can get in on this as well if you'd like, girl. Don,
yeah, having the opposite problem. How do I narrow it down to 25 phrases?
Yeah, we've noticed that. Don't worry, you'll get used to it.
Oi!
Don, you could do, ouch, that hurt. Not a lot. There you go, you see. I've written one line for you. If you do them, then you just got to send them in and we'll send them on to Andy. So,
hang on a minute, that's one of my lines.
Exactly. Don's going to steal it. You're stealing his screen costs online, so...
Actually, I'll get Will's and I'll just listen to all his comments and I'll just repeat them.
you've got to do a Will Green impression in there.
A really bad one.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a good one.
Yeah, true.
Kyle, what have you got for us, mate?
Actually, I've got a game again this week, and I thought in the spirit of, since it's U.S. Open week for tennis, Virtua, is that how you say it? Tennis Challenge is by Sega. And I'm noticing here in the App Store right now, it says 99 cents. I paid $5 for this damn thing.
Oh, sucker! Sucker!
So, I don't know why. If it's 99 cents now, it's very well worth it. It's okay at $5. I've enjoyed it. It's given me something. Again, another weekend kind of thing here. And it's that the graphics are actually pretty good. I mean, again, I don't know if you can tell that. You swipe the screen, you have to do that, and that's a poor serve. But there's a lot of complaints about the graphics. They say that it's kind of slow or sluggish. I don't find it that way at all, actually. It's quite smooth. You can have control options, these kind of things, if you don't want to use the swiping motion. But I find the swiping motion works the best on the game. And you have all the courts to choose from. You've got clay, you've got hard, you've got, you know, the Wimbledon style court, the grass court. They don't say these, of course. I guess they'd have to pay a buttload for royalties and things. But and you can do a whole world tour and everything else if you've got a couple of weeks that you're not doing nothing. So it's a fun little game. And it's just kind of one of those weekend things to pass the time. 99 cents right now, apparently. So definitely well worth that.
Windrider in the chat room says, if Kyle parted with money for it, it must be good.
That's right.
Kyle's nickname's Tommy Tight Ass Kelly. And Don could do an I've got a bundle code line for the green counter.
I've got a bundle in my pocket.
Is that a Fitbit in your pocket? Or are you just pleased to see me?
I thought you were happy to see me.
Yeah, there we go. Kelly, what have you got for us, girl?
Okay. I unplugged it for the show because it's super clacky, but I'm going to show you here. This is called the This is a keyboard by a Canadian company called Matthias, and it's super awesome. And I will hold it up to my headset here so you can hear it.
It deliberately sounds crap.
It's because it's an old style keyboard. So right. Old school Apple nerds, people who've been playing along at home for a long time, you will know the Apple Extended 2 keyboard is the keyboard. And this is the same switch, the scissor switch, that was in the Apple Extended 2 keyboard. I find that it's a lot louder, but it's less work for me to type on that keyboard than it is for me to type on the chiclet keyboards of today, like the little wireless one that I hooked up so I could type in the chat room and not be heard the world over. The other interesting thing about this keyboard in particular is it's got this little button up here that's an iPhone button. The reason that's interesting is because you can tell it's wired. And if I hit that button, it wakes up the Bluetooth piece, and then it becomes a Bluetooth keyboard for your iPhone, or the way I use it most of the time is with my iPad. So you get a text message, say, on your iPhone. You can hit the iPhone button. Now it's a Bluetooth keyboard, and you don't have to wait for it to wake up because it's using the USB as power. And you can reply to that message really quickly, hit the iPhone button again, and you go back to typing on your computer. I also like it because it's really loud, so it makes me feel like I'm getting more done at a time.
That's really pretty cool. I like that because, I've got my iPad to the right of me a lot of the time, and I to type on it when it's on the hover bar is a pain in the butt, so...
Yes. The other thing that... So they make three flavors of this particular keyboard. They make the Tactile Pro, which is this one. They make one without an iPhone button that's just called the Tactile Pro keyboard. And if you just really like that old Apple Extended 2 and you're tired of having to eBay the ADB to USB adapters so that you can continue to use it, you can get this keyboard, which has the same innards. They're really well built. They also have one in the one keyboard line. They have a few flavors, and the other flavors are the Slim, which is like the Apple wireless keyboard, but it's got the cord. And then they also have the standard, and the standard uses dome switches instead of scissor switches inside it in order to...
They probably break, though, because the dome switches were always crap.
Yeah, but I tried one. They sent me a review one, and I'm hard on keyboards, and it held up just fine. So maybe they've got some sort of dome switch 2.0 situation happening. I don't know. But it's pretty great. Now, they do offer it in a BlackBerry flavor. Bless their hearts. But the others are really nice. You can see on mine, there's the little black pad in the middle where you can put your phone. It's got where you can rest your phone. So like it's even easier to iPhone button it. And I really, really like this keyboard as a keyboard. As keyboards go, I'm really specific about what I like and don't like. And I've hated the Apple keyboards, this chiclet version, the entire time I've had it. And I wondered if it was just me. And someone said, no, I actually went to the Tactile Pro. And then they came out with this Bluetooth one at CES this year. And so they sent me the Tactile keyboard. And then they sent me the Tactile one. And they're very nice keyboards indeed. So
chat room's agreeing with you here. They also make a wireless keyboard that can switch straight to iOS, which is what I think you talked about. And Paul says, that's bloody awesome. I love old Mac keyboards. And the iPhone bit is a freaking genius call.
It is beautiful. And as for text messages, and then I have found occasionally for iMessage on my iPad to type with, like using it with my iPhone is fantastic. So I'm going to give a bonus pick this week because I have these guys and I love them. And that's my little character builder Doctor Who villains.
Jolly good. There's no shortage of Doctor Who fans within British Tech. So that's a good
call. And isn't that...
You've just
tomorrow, indeed. Or for you guys, like tonight?
What's that? What's tonight?
Season 7.
Tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Doctor Who back.
Yeah.
Oh blimey! So you'll be running a proxy tunnel.
Yeah, I've heard that there are ways if I were an unsavory character, I've heard there are ways on the internet that I could obtain such a thing.
Yeah. Allegedly, you get proxy tunnels and all sorts, and then
about it.
There's a thing about news groups, you can get it like the day after and never
it's
done
all
it.
Hearsay.
Never done it myself though.
Yeah, it's all hearsay stuff.
Matthias Doc, what's the price on that, did you say, Kelly, or you only got review units?
Well, I have review units, but I did pull up the page. It's Matthias.ca.
CA.com, sorry, yes.
Yeah, and the Tactile one is $199 US.
What?
Well, that's the list price. It's just what it says on their site.
Holy crap.
It may be less if you go somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm going to see if they can send me a review unit.
We'll see.
They could send you a few letters, couldn't they? And you could build it up, couldn't you? Like a collector scheme.
Dome switches.
The dome switches, yeah.
One keyboard is $99. Now, I think the straight Tactile Pro keyboard is like $150.
Yeah, I mean it's the tactile one keyboard for iPhone and Mac is $199.95 US.
Pro is $150.
And I thought Apple were a bunch of piss taking bastards. God,
no,
Bennett, mate.
There's somebody else. The big question is though,
board and since the Apple Extended too, really.
Go on, Carl. Sorry,
is it dishwasher safe?
Well, they all are, aren't they?
But they should be.
You just don't plug it.
$199, it better be.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
For $199, I want it to set the washing machine and turn it on, mate.
Right. Dry itself.
Yeah, too right. Greeny, what have you got for us, sir?
Mine's a little bit lower tech than that. do you remember back in the day, before sort of emails and stuff like that, I used to have, I love signed computers. There used to be a great magazine that came out, sort of, I think, bi-monthly, that told you all about your signed computer. It was really exciting, you know, like take down the pub and read and all that. And you just don't get those anymore. Well, that's what you thought. If you join and it's totally free to join, the Computer Conservation Society.org, you get, once a quarter, this magazine. But can you see that or not?
Go on.
Is it there?
Right, Mozzie.
Yeah. good, isn't it?
Excellent.
And so I've just got issue number 59, autumn 2012. And this issue has got things, highlights as the Enigma Challenge, memories of Maximop computer, and the sacking of Tommy Flowers, whoever he was. And forthcoming event. So, I mean, it's
rewind, whoever he was.
Well, I don't know who Tommy Flowers is. He's like a musical comic.
Educators, the HGM educators.
Tommy Flowers is ex-GPO engineer. He actually was the man who got his hands greasy and wired Colossus together in World War II. He invented, obviously, he didn't invent Colossus, but he built Colossus.
Right.
Well, are you a member? Are you a member of this August Society?
I'm not a local, even I knew that.
He's a fitter, then.
Come on, DHM, are you a member or not?
Are you no, you're not, right, okay.
Yeah, well, exactly.
How much is membership then, Greeny?
Free, totally and utterly free.
Oh, well then.
So you just go to the website and computerconservationsociety.org and membership is totally free and you get this lovely magazine once a quarter. And I rather like it that it says autumn because
yeah.
Do you want to send me a hot poker next week or not?
Why? You've got to show up your dog's butt.
Yeah, right up there. I've got a pair of headphones here. I'm going to throw them in. Look at that. Go on, have them.
Well, you won't hear very well out of them if you shove them up there, so be careful where you shove your headphone leads.
I took him a walk before this podcast just to make sure he was, you know, would be okay.
Fine, don't worry about it. We love Watson. He's good. No problem.
Pain in the ass. Yeah. You know what he was doing this morning? not this morning. This afternoon's walk.
Go on.
Eating shit.
Oh, educated.
It was disgusting. And I came back.
I really didn't want the editing this week.
And I thought, I'll tell you what I'll do.
I'm out.
I cooked a bowl of chili last Sunday. And I've been defrosting the fridge.
Feed it to the dog?
No, I didn't.
Oh, but good.
I was going to. So I thought, I'll eat my bowl of chili. And he was begging. And I thought, no, you can't have any. Because if I gave him the chili out of the bowl after he'd been eating shit, he'd have all the bits of shit in his teeth and they'd be all around my bowl. So, like, the next day I'm here, I'll be eating it too. And I don't want to eat shit. I don't want to do that anymore. I've done it in the past and I've had enough.
There is, if you go and see the vet, there's a reason that they eat excrement, mate. And it's, I'm not editing this podcast stuff. It's going to go out with shit in it.
It's because he's an idiot.
I'm not doing it.
That's the reason.
This podcast. Normally, if I miss a shit, it's because of the fact I've cocked up. That this one, nope. It's got shit in it, and it's got shit in it deliberately. I'm not editing. Stuff it. There we go. But don't
might
do
be
it.
The title.
Deanie, do it again. Otherwise, I'll beat the living daylights out of you.
Hold, hang on a bit.
What?
I was saying the B word only about 20 minutes
ago. Yeah, but that's fine. That's okay. In the odd one, it's fine. But just leave it at S, though. Don't go any further than that. We're up with the Bugle. They're listed as a clean podcast. Right, DHM, what have you got for us, sir?
Well, I've got a pick. And for okay, in celebration of the status of this podcast, I can tell you that this week my pick is not shit.
Good lad. I really hate you lot. I'm going away tomorrow. I'm never going to get this edited in time.
Anyway, you know how the address book on the Mac is actually shit?
Yes, it is. It's really poor. I mean, that triumvirate, the holy trinity of mail app, address book and calendar is just the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can finally do something about address book.
Go on.
Which pleased me no end. I've discovered a little app, and it's called Cobook, and it's free at the moment.
Is it in the App Store or is it online?
It's on the App Store.
Oh, good.
Cobook, it's called, and it is made by a couple of, I think they're Czechoslovakian programmers, www.cobookapp.com, or just type Cobook into the App Store. It's a tiny, tiny little lightweight address book. It installs itself as a menu bar item. You click on it, it rifles through your Apple address book, pulls all of your contacts in from your Apple address book.
And sends it to the Russian mafia.
Yeah, obviously. it did say, when I clicked on my own card, it did disconcertingly say, you appear not to have your credit card details in your contact. It's like, oh, where to put them in?
Oh, dear me.
Dr. Happy Mac. Dr. Happy Mac. Yes, yes.
Pakistani.
Yeah, I was going to say it's an Indian firm then.
I don't know. I was trying to do Russian, but I suck at it. So
no,
that was
kidding.
Complete shit. I'm sorry.
No. Oh,
anyway, yes, back to the address book. It's fantastic. It pulls everything from Apple address book. And because it goes through address book, it syncs to iCloud as well. If you make any changes in CoBook, those changes are instantly fed back into address book, which then syncs through iCloud. So you can stay in sync with your iPhone and your iPad, etc.
That's really good, because that was the thing that was bothering me as to whether it went across cross platform. But also,
it's iCloud compatible. It's brilliant.
But it'll do Google Contact Sync as well as.
Yes, does Google Contact Sync?
So you can duplicate your sync.
No, it doesn't. It has an engine. It's apparently this is its one.
No, I don't mean duplicate. So as you can twin sync.
Yes, it doesn't, and you don't end up with an address book full of 15 contacts because they're all in different things. It also does the same for Facebook contacts and Twitter, all in one place, basically.
Excellent.
And so far, I've been using it for a week, and it's absolutely marvellous. So I don't have to look at that ridiculous skeuomorphic mess that is the address book and this stupid, oh, it's still a book, but we've got three panes, and we've put the groups back down the other side, but we had to squeeze it in because we don't want to break the stupid book metaphor that we came up with.
Very good. I'm installing it as we speak.
There was bitterness there, wasn't there?
There was.
A little bit.
Just a little. If you've got
a
soapbox. They're all crap. Like I say, that holy trinity is awful. They're crap.
They are. But what's the iCalendar version? Magical or something. That breaks you free of iCal and now
Fantastical is what I'm using. Fantastical, and yes. I adore it.
Yeah. And now CoBook breaks your connection with the address book. So sadly, it was Sparrow for email, but thanks to Google, that's now defunct.
Okay, thanks.
So for me, the best bit of CoBook is that it runs in your menu bar.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't have to go dig it out for anything. It's just right up there, and you just click on it. And mine actually ends up next to Fantastical. So I've got all my addresses, I've got my calendar, and it's all in one place. It's really convenient. So, yeah.
Excellent. I have put it up, I think. And it's whirring away.
I seen the price tag was free, so I just downloaded it.
Yeah, you tight ass.
That's right.
Cheapskate bastard. Awesome. My pick is not free, and it's a bit too expensive for some, maybe. But it's worth the money, I think. And that's PanoEdit. I had a situation this week where I need to make a quick panorama. I've got the panorama in Photoshop, and it did an okay job, but it made a few errors and a few overlaps were causing problems. So I went and had a look on the App Store to see what there was, and I found PanoEdit. It's £10.49, so it's not cheap, but it did a better job than Photoshop's did at £600. So give it a go if you like making panos. It depends how you shoot the pano. If you shoot it with a wide-angle lens, it really struggles. But if you shoot with sort of above 90 millimeters, it does a stunning job because you haven't got the barreling problems that you've got there. And again, if you shoot with a prime lens as opposed to a zoom lens, you don't get as much issue with the barreling issue. And also what you can do is if you put it through Photoshop, you can take the barreling away with lens correction, and then it does a better job as well. So as a little pre-edit, it's fine. But it works great. £10.49, it made a stunning panorama for a client. So they were happy, and it paid for itself in an instant. Give it a go. Right.
Should you charge them £12?
No, I charge them a bit more than that.
15.
Keep going.
25.
Long way to go.
£60 plus a curry.
Still more.
It basically paid for itself, is what you're saying, right?
More than.
Yeah, okay.
£150 plus a curry plus 2 pints of Guinness.
Keep going.
£500 plus a curry plus 3 pints of Guinness.
I'm not going to say. Carry on.
How many pints of Guinness did they give you?
I've got enough Guinness. I'll be
fine.
About
the curry, then?
Yeah, I mean, if I drank the amount of Guinness that it bought, then I'd be dead.
I didn't know enough Guinness was a thing.
Well, no, too little Guinness is a thing. I've been out since the start of the show.
When I was at school doing my A-level in art, I had this fantastic art teacher who specialised in portrait photography, and we were A-level with sixth formers, and he was commissioned to do the portraits of all of the 12 members of the board of directors of, I think it was Guinness or Heineken. That's right, Heineken. And he took the whole commission for all 12 portraits in Heineken at cost price.
I used to do portrait photography.
Right.
Blackpool.
And why did you have to stop?
Well there was no reason, really.
After the police investigation?
No. You know those things with like the big fat women and you stick your head through?
Oh, right, yeah.
That sort of thing.
You had a fat woman you stuck your head through and it went to court, no?
No. Get the old Polaroid. Snap a shot. Stick your head through there. Love. There you are. £5. No problems.
Jolly good. Excellent.
Do you do that sort of stuff in a photo show or not?
Yeah, we kind of do. It's similar. Especially when Forsman gets involved, because
when Don starts rubbing his eyes, you know that it's time. You know it's time.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Right, well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video tutorials. The Screencast Online magazine, the monthly magazine, is the next issue is out today.
Oh, I was going to say, it's got to be soon.
Yeah. So, well, I actually put it out a day early. It's supposed to be the 1st of September, but I stuck it out today. So there's now a free issue and two issues for subscribers if anyone wants to subscribe over a newsstand as well. Just search for Screencast Online Monthly and you'll find it over there. And on Twitter as Don McAllister, on app.net as Don McAllister as well.
Kelly's put in the chat room, you can also find Don at donmcallistersbundle.com. and like an arse, I clicked it. I've been rickrolled.
Wait, it goes somewhere?
Oh, no, it goes to Oops. Don't worry. It's 404. Thank you, Don. Thank you ever so much.
No problem.
Kyle, where can we get you, mate?
Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger, of course, with 1G, or at kyleswagger.com.
Good man. Now, Kelly, will you be coming back in 2 weeks' time?
Of course I will.
Good girl. Thank you very much. We haven't scared you off. Where can we get you, mate?
No, I was told I can stay after I said I didn't know enough Guinness was a thing. Then Phil Jenkins said, okay, she can stay.
Yeah, so, definitely.
I guess I'll get to come back.
You'll be good.
You can find me occasionally writing at tuaw.com, the unofficial Apple weblog. I also host or show up for the podcast, which we record there on Sunday evenings. And I'm an occasional guest host on Angry Mac Bastards. And you can also find me on Twitter as Verso, V-E-R-S-O.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for not swearing this evening. I'm very grateful.
If you do want to hear that, you can find me over on Angry Mac Bastards, where I do that kind of a lot.
Okay, good. You drink Guinness and you swear. You're going
to
get on really well.
Yes, I did learn to drink beer at 7 a.m. to OmniFocus.
You may get a few followers on Twitter and you may have a few marriage proposals, I would think, from the people that follow this show. Greeny, where can we get you?
Right, everybody does a Twitter thing. So my Twitter is British Mac.
Yep.
Also, like to say thank you for my very kind employees who pay for my time to go on this podcast, stoneburn.com.
Good on them. Thank you very much, Stoneburn.
And finally, britishmac.com.
And haven't you published a podcast today?
I put an update because I haven't done one in a while. And people are asking what's going on. Have I given up? And of course I haven't. I'll never give up. Put me in a wooden box before I give up on British Mac. So I've done a little update today, which looks at life as a rather seedy cabaret musician, which is an interesting thing. And then it continues on to the next British Mac, which isn't out this weekend. Well, when's this coming out? You're in Saturday, Sunday?
By the time I finish, then probably Tuesday.
Tuesday. So it'll be the weekend after Tuesday then.
Yeah. Well, when I finished editing, you mean? Yeah. Thanks for starting that, mate. Do appreciate it.
Starting what? Yeah. God, you always have a go at me, don't you? Here I am, giving you insightful, intelligent conversation.
Dude, it's the potty, potty mouth bit I don't like.
You swear worse than me on this podcast.
I bloody don't.
If you listen back, you swore a lot worse than me. All I did is a few SH1Ts about the dog. That's all I did.
Which was, yeah, was colloquial descriptive language for excrement, so we'll leave it in on that basis. We were describing a thing, not a swear word. There was no intent to swear.
So have you got something to say or not?
No, I've got nothing to say, mate. Thank you ever so much for coming.
Have you not got something to say?
What for? I'm not going to apologise to you, Jesus. One step at a time, Greenie.
I don't want sorry. I want sorry, and you mean it. Otherwise, you're going on the bottom of them stairs. 3 minutes.
I thought it was one for every year. I got 45 minutes sat at the bottom of the stairs.
The stairs, on the bottom
if
the
I
stairs,
sat on the stairs for 45 minutes, they'd break. And DHM, where can we get you, pal?
Well, this week you can get me at Don McAllister because I'm bundled in with Don.
Oh, dear me. You're at
Don- I really want someone to build that website now.
Don McAllister's bundles.
Bundled in with
Why Don?
It was bigger than there. Don McAllister's bundle. We'll be back again next week. We've got the big show on Thursday. Kelly, go on. Go on, you interrupt. Go on, don't worry about it, mate. Go on. No, come on, get it out of your system, girl.
Why Don? That's a very nice bundle.
There we go. Thank you. Glad we got that one through.
That's my new ringtone sorted out, then.
That is actually. That's that was said very well. We'll be back again on Thursday. We've got the big show on Thursday night at 8 p.m. And we've also got the Mac show again next week at 3:30. Adam Christensen will be on next week, and we've also got the photo show at 2:00. And Kevin Newsom will be on that, and Alex Fox will be back on it as well. So there we go. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.